The opening of the Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by my favorite new product.
Ooh.
I've got tons of SodaStream soda in my house right now.
Oh, that's great.
It's the best. I mean the B-E-S-T best. If you want the greatest Christmas present you can get your friends, your family, your kids, it's SodaStream. SodaStream is the new way to enjoy great-tasting soda made fresh at home in less than 30 seconds. I'm all over this machine.
You love it?
Carla's getting angry at me because I don't spend any time with her anymore. I spend all the time in the kitchen with the SodaStream machine.
Is your new girlfriend called Diet Grapefruit?
It's so good. I used actually real grape soda. That came in the package, too.
Oh, yeah.
SodaStream turns water into fizzy soda in seconds without the lugging, storing, and disposing of bottles and cans. That's just a tiny little thing. The best thing is you make your own soda pop.
So cool.
It's fantastic. Cool. The handsome new SodaStream source comes with a lighted carbonation indicator. I go for maximum carbonation.
Oh, yeah, you're a man.
That's what I do. Fill the bottle with water, snap it into the machine, push the button, and add your choice of favorite flavors. Without aspartame or high fructose corn syrup. Yay. And about 25 cents a can. That is the best part. Choose your style and color at Bed Bath & Beyond, Target, Walmart, Macy's, and Kohl's, or visit SodaStream.com. SodaStream, smart, simple soda. Kraft Foods presents Buzz Burbank's Peppermint Meatballs. Start with a 2-pound bag of Mama Lucia's home-style meatballs. Put in your crock pot with 39 crushed Spangler brand candy canes, 16 ounces of condensed milk, 3 cups of Kraft real mayonnaise, 1 can of cherry pie filling, 2 dozen Nilla wafers, a hard-cooked egg, and Kraft baby marshmallows. Cook for 3.5 days and serve in a medium-sized wizard hat. Another holiday favorite from Kraft.
Buzz, how long have you been making those meatballs?
Oh, for years. The kids love them. Like, all around the neighborhood, kids come over to have some.
They're fantastic.
I don't know if we're going to put that in the same place every day because it just felt so awkward to do a real commercial and go into that. But we will. So is my day tomorrow?
Tomorrow you must have one.
So remind me to note to self.
When I get here 20 minutes before the show, I'll say, do you have that?
And you know what? We shouldn't have all the fun. Let's let the other boys write some Kraft recipes.
I would love
that,
especially when I saw the utter look of blankness on Oscar's face when you launched into that, because he has no, I think he thought it was a real recipe
He's
at first.
He's not old enough to remember the
Kraft Music Hall.
Ed Hurley.
I know the homeless guy.
It would be at Kraft Music Hall where they would be, they'd have holiday specials, and it was brought to you by Kraft. And what they would do is they would show recipes that you could do with Kraft.
And they had an announcer.
And they had an announcer like this. Take Kraft baby marshmallows, and they would use.
Always the marshmallows.
Yes,
they would use Miracle Whip.
Oh, God.
All the Kraft products that they would use. Because that was what their thing was. So the only thing that we ask that's required is Kraft baby marshmallow.
Right. That's right. And also,
or you can substitute Kraft baby caramel. Do they have baby caramels or are they just caramels?
Kraft caramels. Yeah.
You have to use in your recipe either Kraft baby marshmallows or Kraft caramels.
And also, the closing line must always be the same.
Another holiday favorite. From Kraft. So I'll do mine tomorrow.
I wonder if Kraft marshmallows come in panettone.
Panettone. Oh, did I see? I was in an Italian restaurant over
Italian,
the weekend.
Italian, Bolivian.
And I saw panettone. Like, but it was better than the stuff they have at the grocery store.
Yeah, yeah.
This looked really, really above average. Very, very yummy.
Hard holiday bread.
I'll tell you what it's not on Weight Not is if you ever make a French toast out of panettone.
Really?
No, it's not on Weight Not.
But that's
yummy. But it's so good.
Eggy.
Now.
Eggy. All right, now we have to start the show today, before we get started, with a lottery update. Apparently, ooh. Rob Spiewak came into the kitchen today. He has some serious news.
Serious lottery update.
About our lottery fortune.
Which is actually probably, in a way, good news and in a way, an apology. Because what happened is I took our tickets,
hold on, ladies and gentlemen.
That's how I'm used to getting my good news.
Hold on. Ladies and gentlemen, congratulations go out to Mr. Jimmy Cerrito.
Oh, did he win?
King of Wings.
Yay, Jimmy.
Breaking news.
Way to go, Jimmy.
Best wings in D.C.
We won. Please thank your listeners for voting. Thanks.
for all your help.
That is so great.
Jimmy, in honor of you winning Northern Virginia's best wings, we look forward to you catering our entire Christmas party.
That's right.
On Friday.
Oh, God. I hope he brings some of those wings.
Jimmy is going to. I hope he does, too. Jimmy, bring some of your wings here on Friday. Congratulations. Northern Virginia Magazine's King of the Wings. Jimmy went up against some restaurant behemoths, and Jimmy is the winner. So we salute Jimmy Cerrito.
2 years running.
That is great.
2 years running as
attaboy, Jimmy.
King of the Wings.
Well, he's from Buffalo.
You know, Jimmy is, if he's anything, he is a listener. He listens to every one of these shows, and he listens to them right away.
Wow.
So he knew to let me know when we were taping this right at the beginning.
He must be very excited.
We won the wing contest.
Hey, are you going to dance in your boxers on Eldon Street?
With the mayor.
Yeah.
I believe the mayor is going to be dancing with him.
While tweaking his nipples.
The mayor of Herndon?
So, Jimmy,
only
congratulations.
Jimmy.
Exactly, Rob.
2 years running,
That's
King
awesome.
Of the Wings. This is a big deal for him. Jimmy had a tough year,
yeah,
a really tough
did.
Year.
Oh, did he?
You know, and he can't. He's gone into it a little bit as far as what he did. His whole kitchen staff, you know, for a variety of reasons, he had to let go his whole kitchen staff. And
didn't want to.
And he didn't want to. This was all, you know, some very
Somebody
complicated governmental crap that he dealt with. Every restaurateur that is listening to this knows what I'm talking about right now. But he loved these people in his kitchen. He did not want to let them go. They were like family, and it turned his restaurant upside down for a while. Mm-hmm. He's still recovering from it. Get out there, get your holiday party at Jimmy's, because Jimmy needs all the help he can get right now, and we want him to succeed. But that's a big deal. This was like one that he needed bad.
He did.
So Jimmy Cerrito, my best buddy, I am so happy for you. Congratulations.
Not only King of the Wings, but also the coldest beer in town.
Thank you for driving me home on Thursday night.
Best thing that happened to him since Carhenge.
Now back to the lotto update. Rob, you are...
I took our stack of tickets to my local lottery dealer, which is, of course, the Mexican Shoppers Food Warehouse.
In Arizona.
Right. And they have a machine there where you can just scan the barcode.
Yeah.
And you say, hey, look at the barcode. And it'll tell you what you want.
Right.
And
I didn't throw anything away, did you?
No, I ran all our tickets through. And out of our slight $200 investment, and we're all equal partners, we got a return of $19.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Now, wait, there's more. What I didn't
realize...
might
have good news or something like that. What the hell are you coming
to me with? It's conceivably very good news. Oh. Because
like very, very good news?
Don't know yet. Because what happened is what I didn't realize.
Yes.
Hold on just a second.
Is when I scanned all the tickets, I wasn't just finding out whether they won. Yeah. I was actually cashing them in. And the machine does not return money. So I was forced to buy scratchers in the amount of $19.
Oh, really?
Now, so what I have in here is conceivably...
You got these magic beans.
Lots of money. Now, I know that what I did is I bought these tickets without consulting my partner. So I hold in my hand a check for $3.80, which is 20% of our winnings. I'll buy anyone out of their partnership if they don't want to play along with the scratchers.
Oh, I want to play along with the scratchers.
I'll play.
Oh, yeah.
Buzz.
I'm taking the check.
Buzz.
He's taking the
Buzz
check.
Buzz is taking the check.
Oh, my God.
If you hit big.
Jesus.
Yeah, I know. We'll never hear the end of it.
No, but if...
I know. It's it.
Last
I'm sorry.
Chance.
I know.
Last chance,
know.
Buzz.
Buzz.
Yeah. No, I tell you what. I give it back.
There you go. There you go. There you go. That's good. He's taking the odds.
He had it in his head.
He's taking the odds.
And, you know, it just isn't worth cashing a $3.80 check. You know?
Mike, would you like to scratch the mega fortune? That's the big buy. Okay?
Yeah, sure.
Pass that to him.
Yeah, sure.
All right, Oscar.
I need a quada or something. Or something
Oscar,
to
I'll let you do the reindeer. Will you do the this is the snowman buzz.
Excellent. That's perfect.
Win up to $10,000.
Yeah. All right, here we
Let's
go.
See what happens.
We're getting our scratchers.
All right.
Well,
so, what are the odds? I always like looking at the odds.
You have to
Mark,
read the
I
rules.
Need a quarter or something like that.
The odds when I was
asking
younger,
Mark for a quarter. Good luck.
I was like, scratching.
I'm doing the cash
itch.
In hand.
Does anybody carry any change?
4-1. I have a quarter here. Do you want this?
No, that's right. All right. We'll get it in a sec.
Winning
all right. I see my number now. I see.
Okay.
Read the rules, Buzz. Now I have wow, Mike, I have 15 ways to win big.
Really?
Can't win unless you play.
That's right.
All right, I have Mega Fortune. Match any of your numbers to any of the winning numbers. I still need something to scratch with.
All right.
Here you go.
My fingernail worked, but I don't know what I'm matching it to.
Match any of your numbers to any of the winning numbers. And
scratch
the
top and then see all the numbers at the bottom.
Oh, there's a scratch up there?
Anybody win anything yet?
I'm so far not one.
I have... Nothing.
No. I've exposed the word winning numbers.
That's good. Keep going, Buzz. Not too late to take that check.
When I was younger and in high school, I used to go with my brother. We thought we had a plan where we'd look at the odds of the scratchers on the back because you always ask for the odds.
Right.
10, 34, 29, and 31.
Worked. Well, what did you think? No. You're gonna, like, did you beat match? The odds somehow?
Well, if you bought every fourth ticket, 4-1, we just didn't do our math.
Well, they're not in, they're not
yeah,
in order.
Yeah, we thought they were in order.
Yeah. All right, I have now exposed my myself, Mike. I've exposed myself 12 of my 15 numbers, and I have nary a match yet.
You scratch? Nothing. You scratch all of them off?
Yeah, I'll take care of that, Buzz.
Yeah.
Give me 2 seconds.
I have nothing.
I have no idea.
Nothing, really?
Okay. I have nothing.
You better get something, but your ticket costs $10.
Nope. Nothing.
Not a hold cent?
A not a sec. Nickel.
Gee, no, that's not a surprise.
Do you want that check now, Buzz?
No. No, thank you.
Are you sure?
But think of the fun.
And no.
Lottery sucks. Lottery sucks.
I am. This right. is
lottery
what
really,
this
really
what I've been
sucks.
Saying, yes.
Right. I mean, scratch off sucks. I swear to God. We bought a lot
hey,
of scratchers.
Hey, guess who just won $5?
Oh, God. Right. Yeah. What the effing do?
Reinvest it.
I will. I will, too.
Six right. and 19.
No,
let's
I got
see.
Nothing. Mark, double check my card.
I have
see if I got anything. I don't think
nothing.
I've got anything.
Yeah.
I got $5.
Buzz has nothing. I have nothing.
That sucks.
But keep in mind, Buzz, you'll get $1 of that $5. And so you're really only out $2.80 today.
That's great.
Well, it's going to be a great effing Christmas.
You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Hi, can I help you?
Yes, I'd like a ham and cheese womelet and more wham fries.
I'm sorry. We stopped serving breakfast, but we are on the lunch menu now.
I want breakfast.
Well, you can't have it. We're not serving it.
I'd like some breakfast.
We stopped serving breakfast.
I know you stopped serving breakfast, Rick. Sheila told me you stopped serving breakfast. Why am I calling you by your first names? I don't even know who you are. I don't want to be your buddy, Rick. I just want a little breakfast.
We stopped serving breakfast at 11:30.
Rick, have you ever heard the expression, the customer is always right?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, here I am, the customer.
That's not our policy. You have to order something from the lunch menu.
I don't want lunch. I want breakfast.
Yeah, well, hey, I'm really sorry.
Yeah, well, hey, I'm really sorry, too.
Oh, my God!
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Buzz Burbank, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his couch, here's Mike.
Live from the Cabby Piper Studios, this is America's most beloved podcast, The Mike O'Mara Show, downloaded more than 60 million times and heard in 150 countries worldwide. Oh, I thought I was going to hit the post. I hate that song. I hate that song. I hate that song. Thank you. Our show today is...
not a big Junior Walker guy.
Well, it's just that offbeat.
I know. Well,
it's
he's
about a shotgun. Because he was smoking crack and, you know, didn't know what he was doing.
I assume you can read music.
Stop it. Our show today is brought to you by, oh, my God.
What?
Did we enjoy these over the weekend? Yeah. Sherry's Berries.
Oh, yes.
The best fresh-dipped strawberries from Sherry's. Check out some check some folks off your list with this amazing gift. They're perfect for holiday parties. Enormous juicy berries dipped in your choice of chocolates with your choice of toppings, including crushed almonds and chocolate chip. And now, save over 40% with prices starting at $19.99. Go to berries.com, click on the microphone, and enter the code TMOS. That's the code.
That's, code.
That's the code.
That's the code I'm talking about.
You know what you're not going to mention, Mike, is the fact that these strawberries are the size of softballs.
Strawberries.
These are wonderful strawberries.
Starberries.
These are delicious, and I like the chocolate, too. And you can double your berries for just $10 more. And I would recommend doubling your berries simply because once you eat these, everybody's going to want more.
That's right.
They go fast. I mean, and I'm not exaggerating.
You're
but
not.
Hurry, this offer expires Friday at midnight. Visit berries.com. That's berries.com. Or call 866-FRUIT-02. If you don't have a computer, why are you listening to this show?
Yeah, how are you listening to this?
Please use the code TMOS, Sherry's Berries, at berries.com. And interesting that all that gunfire, I'm kind of surprised you used that that clip with the weekend in the NFL. Kind of a weird thing on the program today. I got some very, very strong feelings about coverage of this, the ridiculous NFL lust boner that these sports douchebags have and their lack of perspective. Our lack of perspective in America when it comes to the NFL is so completely overwhelming that I'm stunned. I'll talk about that
a little bit.
I watched an amazing pay-per-view movie that that I recommend highly to everybody.
Did you buy the block of programming where you get all the channels?
I do that every week.
Oh, I understand.
This is called The Queen of Versailles. I don't know if you guys have had a chance to see it.
I saw it in the theater.
It is. Really? You know, know what? Why I didn't see this in the theater? This was fantastic.
What I mentioned it to you, you ignored me.
Sorry about that. It's on pay-per-view now.
Maybe you'll listen next
It's about
time.
This guy, the Seagulls, this guy, big right-winger down in Florida that runs
I remember
a
you talking
timeshare
about
company.
Yeah.
Oh, it's special.
I remember it too.
I'm performing with the symphony.
Mm. Yes, you are.
And yes. Could not be more thrilled. Football night in America. We're going to have a good old party at the America household here. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Hey, thanks for the invite.
If you'll notice, I know that I'm going to... I'm really pissing off about 50% of our audience right now by wearing these colors, but I just can't help myself.
And you're pissing off one-fifth of this room.
I understand that. It's a little big blue thing, and Mark's a pretty... Mark's the only legitimate Redskins fan that we have.
Mark's going to the game tonight.
And, I am.
He's going to be there.
Considering the traffic, shouldn't you have left by now?
Hey, how lucky are you, though?
Bundle up.
In December... Oh, no, he doesn't have to.
I know, that's what I'm...
How lucky are you to go to Monday Night Football in December and have this situation where, it's going to be 55 degrees at game time?
60!
60 at game time?
78 and humid.
I was definitely when I was given the choice of a few games. I picked this one because I figured, you know, Redskins Giants, why not?
Right.
But I was worried about the weather. Well, but sure. I figured, you know, it's football; you got to deal with it. But this is awesome. I can't believe the weather.
Mark will have a complete recap of the game tomorrow on the show. Big game for Washington D.C. Really, one of the biggest games of the year. And why are you looking at me?
Because
like that?
It's the coverage has already begun. That if they win tonight, it's playoffs and then Super Bowl. And you know what's going to happen?
Oh yeah, yeah. They're still not in the playoffs if they win tonight.
They're going to lose, and tomorrow the town is going to cry.
Really? I think that there is a tradition with home games for the Redskins. I know the Giants have won the Super Bowl. Giants have Eli Manning. The Giants have a great receiver core. The Giants have an amazing defensive front line. But I will tell you that weird things happen to the New York Giants in big games against the Redskins.
So you're saying anything could happen out there tonight.
I am saying that
it's
I've got that
game.
Same. You know what? Even with Super Bowls under our belt, since I was 5 years old, my father had me watching games inside of Giants Stadium in Yale Bowl, as a matter of fact, and I am truly, truly excited about this. I have that same feeling of dread that I get with the Red Sox.
Really?
Well, the thing is, people said to me,
high stakes.
When I told people, I low-key the fact that I'm a Giants fan. When you work in radio in Washington, D.C., you can't tell anybody you're a Giants fan.
Every city you're in, you're that city's fan.
I am from
Oscar
Central,
was a big Cardinals guy.
Central.
I
love the lack of interest here. I'm working with three vaginas right now. They could care less. They could care less about football.
My Ravens lost last night.
You don't even care about the Ravens.
Watched the
only
Ravens
reason
game.
You care about the Ravens is Tommy Foxworth is your friend.
Yes.
That's the only reason.
But I care.
I am a football fan. I truly am.
Yes.
I'm 5 years old. My father has me sitting in front of a black and white TV watching the Giants play. Are you ready for this? How old I am? In Yankee Stadium.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
That's how old I am.
But they're a football team. Why would they be playing baseball?
Because they converted. You know what?
It's a question that had to be asked.
Mark, go over to the microphone.
He has a microphone there.
No, he's going to get what he craves. He's going to get airtime. So I'm going to talk football with him.
Good.
I'm going to talk football. You guys shut up.
Okay.
This is football. I want to explain.
It's going to have to wait because we're getting a phone call.
You're so missing out by not being a sports fan.
Phone's ringing.
Hello.
Oh, my God. Guess who's back? Mike, they're back!
22 days for Christmas shopping. 22 days to fill the stocking. 22 days for Christmas shopping. Only got 22
days, Mike.
22.
Goodbye.
Hi.
Goodbye.
Did you hear what the man said? Only 22 shopping days till Christmas.
All right, goodbye. Thank you. Jesus.
I forgot about that.
So we're going to get that all the way through, right?
I don't know. You never can tell when they'll stop by.
All right, so.
But 22 days.
I want to explain to people.
Are you having a party?
About my sports loyalties, all right? I grew up and people don't understand this unless they know about New England and especially Southern New England, Central Connecticut. What's going on?
My mic wasn't on.
Of course it wasn't, because he was too busy playing with his brother as they both wallow in their lack of even giving the slightest rat's ass.
What I was
sports.
Doing, Mike, was striving to make the show sound better.
Well,
you know, at least when you got blown out of a sports station, you came by it honest.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't care about the Redskins.
I love sports. I truly do.
I don't care about the Giants. I like the NFL, though. I'll be watching tonight.
They have wonderful verticals.
So my point is that in Central Connecticut, a lot of people are like me that either go as Yankee fans and Patriot fans, or some of them are Giants fans and Red Sox fans. It's the central part of the state. I was raised as a New York Giants fan and a Boston Red Sox fan because my father loved the football Giants. He liked New York sports teams, but he blew off New York sports baseball after the Brooklyn Dodgers went to Los Angeles.
Oh, right, sure.
And he became a Red Sox fan. So there it is. There's the history of that. And people say, well, you just like teams that win. And it's that's not really
that's not
true.
No.
Because during the 70s, every single year the Giants would lose and every single year the Red Sox would lose. And so that's why there's the history of sports and me.
Did anyone ever tell you that you just like teams that lose?
Yes, I said that to myself.
I know, because that is something about you that I find so intriguing and yet so complicated.
My brother-in-law, Paul, will tell a story about both of us walking on the boardwalk in Atlantic City, and I'd had a couple of adult beverages, and I am talking to him. I'm going, I never win a damn thing. My teams always lose. Swear to God, that's what I said. And that was not in the distant future.
Pretty much
past, rather.
So your passion for your team, has it grown since you don't have the Capitals?
No. Maybe that's it. I'm having my hockey buddies
there's
over.
There's a void to fill.
My friend Randall, who was in my band, who's a huge New York fan, Giants and Yankees, we commiserate on the Giants. And Paul, my bass player, if we can locate him, he's kind of a hermit. He's coming over, and of course, Mr. French is going to come over this evening too. And so it's kind of like getting that hockey group, a group that I would normally have to watch hockey. I've been looking for sort of a sports fix, and this is the big game.
Well, this is a big game.
How big a game is this for Redskins fans?
This is absolutely huge, because unfortunately this won't mean first place for them, but it'll put them about a half a game behind the Giants. And then if they can make a run from there.
Well, how many games is a run? I've heard different numbers.
Well, I
they
mean,
have
again,
to
they're
win every game, right?
No, not necessarily. It also depends on the Giants and how they play the rest of the season as well. So, I mean, if the Giants lose a couple, the Redskins win a couple, then all of a sudden they've got a pretty good lead on
them. But you're a homer for the team.
Yep.
I am, but
you
I've
you just
grown
said
up
if a team loses a couple and that we win a couple.
Well, there's still several weeks left.
And if people don't understand what's going on in D.C. right now around the country.
Sorry, I laugh whenever you get into a sport.
No, but for me, it's not sports. For me, it's a D.C. thing. What you need to do is go online and watch some of the coverage on our Channel 5 this morning. I think they had Wisdom Martin at the stadium at 7 o'clock this morning, talking about how important this game is and the playoff implications, and everyone's a fan, and this is great, and RG3 is great, and
Rob brings up a point about media coverage of the Washington Redskins, which is one of the reasons why I even, growing up in this town in my career, having friends that I count among my friends, John Riggins, Joe Theismann, Mark Rippon, Dexter Manley, people that I've known. I mean, I've known these guys. I've hung out with these guys. I still, because of the media coverage of this team in this town, I have never been able to grab it. I've never been able to embrace it. It's terrible. I grabbed the Washington Capitals when I moved down here because they were the perpetual underdogs. They were always suffering, and I identified with that, and that's why this back in the early 1980s when none of my teams had won anything. And so that's why I identified with the Capitals, not with the Redskins, who were winning everything back then.
So now, in the off chance the Redskins do not destroy the Giants tonight and they perhaps chalk up a loss.
Which is, I will tell you this, for Redskins fans, this is going to make Redskins fans feel very good. Two things. Number one, they are in now every single game they will ever play based on their quarterback.
Right.
They will never, unless he is injured, God forbid, they will never, ever not be in a game
fun
with this
watch.
Guy.
He is. Games are fun
and the other
watch.
Thing I will tell you, as much as I am a big blue Giants fan, I it is impossible for me not to like RG3. I think for anybody that watches the guy.
Oh, absolutely.
He is. It's not that he's just a great athlete, which he is, an incredible athlete. It's not that he is amazingly tough, which, a lot of football players are. But as far as quarterbacks, there's nothing fragile about this guy.
No.
It's the fact that he goes about his job with the poise
class.
Of a 10-year veteran, and he is such a class act, and he's so joyous in the game. I mean, he reminds me of guys that do anything with a great deal of joy. It's fun to watch him. It really is.
So,
I hate to say that, but I do say
in the chance that they do lose tonight, compare this morning's broadcast with tomorrow's broadcast, and it will seem like the city burned down. They will just, Well, here's the thing.
I don't know about that. You know, yeah, I think the Redskins now have.
They're bad fans.
A lot of the fans have an inferiority complex, like very much like the fatalistic fans that the Red Sox have. I can relate to those fans in the way that they behave. What I cannot stand are the artificial people that you see on television and on radio news in particular that could give a rat's ass, and it's so fake.
Right.
They don't know. But they
go through the motions of pretending.
Yes, they feel they're obligated. I mean, they couldn't tell you a player outside of RG3 on the Redskins roster, yet you know, they couldn't tell you that London Fletcher is one of the greatest linebackers in the game and has just this amazing track record. And as a fan of another team, I hate to watch him, but you cannot help but like the guy and respect the guy because he's such a good player. And you'll have these people go, hey, what a game. Boy, we're all real sad today. And they're not. Sean Anderson, you don't know. Sean Anderson, you do needlepoint in your spare
but
time,
wouldn't
you homo.
Admit that when when there's a win or even like in 2000.
You want to tell me Will Thomas is really busted up if the Redskins lose to the Giants? He doesn't give a shit.
Will Thomas knows every player, but he's not a football fan.
When the team is winning, when your home team is winning, I don't care what city you're in, people are happier.
Right,
That's true.
Yes,
sets the mood.
Yeah, this is true.
People are happier. It's the truth.
However,
so I'm going for a really unhappy city tomorrow.
But you see,
because I have a nationwide program.
DC is a bad sports town, and the reason that you can't, for one thing, you can't get a ticket to a Redskins game. Period.
Can I tell you something? Rob, I'd love to agree with you.
You can.
I just can't tell you that DC is a bad sports town. This town, it's a
one sport town.
They did pretty well for their baseball team when their baseball team got cooking in the playoffs.
They were winners.
They were there, and I have to tell you,
shallow sports town.
Being part of where they were downtown, I railed against the Capitals fans because they didn't get angry enough after the Capitals.
Right,
lost.
I remember.
But they were there, and they were I think this is not a bad sports.
Who are you, and what have you done with Mike O'Mara? Because what about the horrendous game day experience at FedEx Field?
That's the worst.
And
it
also,
is the worst.
And we hate the owner.
I went to a preseason game. I was there for half a quarter because I hated it.
That's
so much.
An eighth.
You know why I was there? I was so I felt treated so badly by the people of Landover that work around in that stadium. Mm-hmm. I said I'm out of here. I mean, I can't do the rudeness. Just doesn't.
And furthermore, I think it has been documented that it is the drunkest crowd of any NFL stadium and rowdy and unpleasant.
The pregame, a guy that's a season ticket holder, it's a friend of mine. He said the pregame and the parking lot party is the big deal. How early are you going to get out there tonight?
I think I'm going to have to leave by around 5:30 for an 8:30 kickoff.
Oh,
you're
late.
That's late.
You're late. You want to? You seriously? 3:34.
There's a guy who's like number one fan. He travels and goes with the team.
Right.
He's left work. He's not even there today.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a day off. This is a day off. That's the way to do it. If I could, I was going to the game, that's the way I would do it. It's fun. It's going to be a big deal. And
great energy in a Monday night game. You'll have a blast.
I'm not optimistic, though.
And neither am I.
I don't think that they're going to win. I think after the Dallas Cowboys won last night, for some reason, that put a bad taste in my mouth.
Randall, here's the funny. My buddy Randall, who is also a Yankee fan and a Giants fan, so he has the arrogance of the Yankee fan that I do not possess as a Red Sox fan. And so we're rooting for the same team. So I think Eli Manning, although he has won two Super Bowls, how many quarterbacks can claim that?
Right.
His mouth hanging open. He always kind of looks... What am I going to do?
Like he's missing a chromosome.
I've always felt that way.
Or
Randall, totally
or
different. Totally different. You know what his text is to me last night?
What?
You can't spell elite without Eli.
Oh, God.
Yuck.
So, exactly.
But you know what? With Eli Manning, you could just change it to he can't spell elite.
But it's great. If the Giants start losing, I'll have a guy to bitch with. So that'll be a lot of fun tonight. So it's a big night. This leads me to the next football discussion that I want to have. Mm-hmm. So I'm watching SportsCenter over the weekend, and Saturday morning this amazing tragedy happens in Kansas City with the linebacker. The name escapes me of what the
Belcher is
Javon
his last
Belcher.
Name.
Yeah.
Javon Belcher.
Javon Belcher.
Javon Belcher. And Cassandra Perkins, his girlfriend and mother of one of his children and pregnant with another. And he murders her and turns the gun on himself. And without any hesitation, I was watching SportsCenter and how they found it in their perspective to put up a picture of Javon Belcher with the you know, the years underneath. Right. And it's like, this is a murderer.
Right. Yes.
Yep. This is a man who murdered a pregnant woman. Mm-hmm. You don't give him the same due that a guy like that would die in a car accident or a guy. And I said to myself, what the, did anybody notice this and notice this coverage? Finally, thank God, our friend Mr. James Brown
JB
mentions Cassandra Perkins, the murdered young lady who everybody should be focusing on.
Right.
I don't give a rat's ass what the circumstances were. This douche had the gun. Mm-hmm. He pulled the trigger. You focus on the young lady that was murdered.
Yes.
You put all of your, but no. And I see people at the game with the guy's jersey on.
Right.
What is wrong with our society? What is wrong with people? What
people
is wrong
love fame.
With our perspective?
They love fame. God, they think it can erase everything.
I mean, I couldn't believe this. You know, this is not, and I'm so bad on names today, the Redskin that was murdered in Miami.
Sean Taylor.
This is not a Sean Taylor situation.
Not at all.
This is not a guy on the receiving end of fate. This is a guy that made his own bed with this, regardless of the circumstances.
Right.
Is it a tragedy? It's a tragedy for the family of this woman.
Yes.
But he's not a victim.
And suddenly they I mean, did all right, I just wanted everybody's perspective.
No, I agree with you.
Did anybody
feel like the coverage was really,
and finally JB says what needed to be said. You know, the young lady should be mentioned. Go ahead.
Well, I thought it was weird because the story broke on Saturday morning, around 11 a.m.
Right. Yep.
So I hear the update on the radio. So I start reading about it, and I'm like, okay, you know, they don't release the girlfriend's name.
We get our information where we all do now. We all get it from online.
Yeah,
and
they don't do it. And I'm this whole time I'm tracking with the story, trying to figure out what the update is, what happened, because you just want to know what happened.
Exactly.
And then flip to Sunday when I'm starting to watch the games. And it's almost like they're eulogizing this guy.
It was
guy.
Incredible.
And I thought it was weird. And I also thought it was interesting that when the Kansas City Chiefs had a moment of silence, they had a moment of silence for the victims of domestic abuse, and his name wasn't mentioned.
Yep.
And even that made me feel a little weird because there's nothing to highlight. There's nothing happy about it. You're not memorializing anything.
This is a crime.
Murder. Yeah.
This is a crime that was committed. And, you know, because he is a football player in the sacred NFL, which is revered among all sports. And I just, when I saw that graphic come up on the screen and they faded to black, where they had the picture of Javon Belcher and the years of his life. Mm-hmm. And then they faded out.
And no mention of the lady
who was pregnant, who he murdered. And, you know, and Carla brought up a good point today. This guy was such a coward that he even laid it on his coaches.
Yeah.
You know, he couldn't just
that
go
to
out.
Me
he
is...
could not go out and just do this. He went out to you know, do his little showboat, the pussy, and put a bullet in his head after he murdered this woman. I don't care what your problems are. You don't need to do that.
That is nearly, to me, that is nearly as horrifying as what he did to the woman. Because what that does is it's...
That
it's,
coach will live with that for the rest of his life.
He made it look, and not just the coach, but the general manager. Right.
Yeah,
he did it in front of both of them.
And they both have been... the general manager in particular, at least it's been documented that, you know, that he's been so traumatized.
Scott Fioli is his name.
They're still reeling over it. And
There's lots of counseling ahead for that. That is
laying your problems and laying your crime, and that's what this is. Make no mistake. It's a crime. Laying your crime on their shoulders.
Right.
And the fact that he killed himself after he laid it out to them, it's somehow, even though it's not really their fault, they'll always be connected with it. And they'll always say, well, you know what? They tried to talk him out of it. Well, you know, of course they did, because that's what you do. But because they didn't succeed, it's a blot. It's just so horrible.
The story has been he thanked them for what they had done for him. Well, you don't thank somebody by shooting yourself in front of them.
Yeah. No, and you know, and he escaped his crime of passion.
Right.
Obviously, no one knows what the and you know. As I said, the only thing in the Bible that I adhere to: judge not, lest ye be judged. Mm-hmm. And I do believe that, and everything should come out as to, you know, there's no justification for murder. And I want to hear what the troubling signs were there. Will be probably that coming out in the future. But Cassandra Perkins.
Remember
Cassandra Perkins. There's the individual who was the victim of this crime.
Thank you.
No matter what the circumstances were, she was the one that was murdered. Mother of a 3-month-old, pregnant with his other child. just amazing how just get so caught up in we get so caught up
culture
in
of culture of celebrity. Which headline grabs attention? Man commits suicide.
Yeah.
NFL player commits suicide.
Yeah, true enough.
Of answer's course, easy. Right.
Yeah, she's not even and a lot of the coverage not even part. Right. He murdered his girlfriend. That's what it was referred.
That's
his girlfriend. You know, so a tragedy and tragic the way we covered it.
While we're talking about it, do you have any thoughts on the way Bob Costas quoted that piece last night during football?
I did not hear.
I'd like for you to hear this. There's a sports columnist. His name is Jason Whitlock, and Costas. And Costas read this last night. And again, my feeling is not the time or place for this.
Our current gun culture, Whitlock wrote, ensures that more and more domestic disputes will end in the ultimate tragedy, and that more convenience store confrontations over loud music coming from a car will leave more teenage boys bloodied and dead. Handguns do not enhance our safety. They exacerbate our flaws, tempt us to escalate arguments, and bait us into embracing confrontation rather than avoiding it. In the coming days, Javon Belcher's actions and their possible connection to football will be analyzed. Who knows? But here, wrote Jason Whitlock, is what I believe. If Javon Belcher didn't possess a gun, he and Cassandra Perkins would both be alive today.
Now, whether or not you agree or disagree with what he's saying, was it appropriate to bring that up in football?
I welcome everybody's opinion on this. How do you not disagree with it?
Okay.
Well, where do you disagree?
If he didn't have a
gun,
not now,
if he didn't have a gun, they wouldn't be dead. That's true.
He could have killed her with anything else.
Oh yeah, he could have killed her with a candlestick,
with a butcher knife.
Yeah, but the fact is, the gun lust and the gun love of the United States. Mm-hmm. Is it the time and place? Probably not right after that. But when are you going to talk about guns and the fact that people get killed with guns?
If
in this
not
time?
At the time of a tragedy, then when should it be discussed? I mean, I remember this coming up after the last mass shooting. This is no time to talk about. No, that's exactly the time to talk about.
I'm not going to be. I'm not. I fortunately don't sit in Congress, and I'm not a United States Senator, and I don't have to worry
about
getting.
That's actually quite fortunate for all of us.
I don't have to worry about getting elected, so I don't have to worry about the incredible power of the National Rifle Association targeting me for getting a primary change challenge. So yeah, I mean the fact is you know it's guns. I mean the statistically you have guns that do this kind of damage on a regular basis, crimes of passion. That gun is not there. If that gun is not there, it's not that heated moment of passion. You say he could use a knife? Sure, he could. Could he use a club? Yes, he could. But the ease of squeezing a trigger,
push button killing,
and just going bam, it's over.
Right.
And it's over in the blink of an eye. I think that even with a knife or a blunt force trauma object like a club or a bat,
baseball bat,
the time factor in and of itself could perhaps change the result of that. Mm-hmm. That's just, I don't know. I mean, I'm not.
The guy was sick enough to drive to the stadium. He had all that time to think about what he'd done. Mm-hmm. He had all that time for any type of remorse or question or to do anything else. He still chose to take his life.
Yeah.
If someone's that driven to do that type of harm to themselves or someone else, I believe.
Well, I think it's more that I think you got to think about the other side.
But it's the easiest
way. The passion of the murder for the girlfriend. Not, mm-hmm. He's murdered somebody. He knows that. So that's. You're right. I mean, he's taking his time to do that. He knows he's going to kill himself probably. Yeah. But I'm talking about the initial flame out. You know, who knows? You know, he can't crawl in somebody else's skin. He might have premeditated it all weekend long.
Yeah,
this might have been something he wanted to do on Thursday night. You know, you don't know what's going to happen. I just think that we have this sanctity of gun ownership in the United States that is crazy. I'd love to debate your radio partner on it. I know that he loves guns, and he called.
He's a responsible gun owner.
He called Costas insane, and he.
I did not see that.
He loves guns, and there are people that are dear friends of mine that adore guns, that love guns. I think that anytime you even bring up the subject, you get people so pissed
off.
Very emotional.
Yeah.
It's just like abortion or any other hot button issue like that. I don't know. I mean, you got to talk about it. I mean, I think
have to talk about it.
I think that with better education about gun safety, maybe even more, maybe this wouldn't happen. Who knows? Yeah. It's a tragedy.
Well, wanted you to hear the tape. I wanted your thoughts on it.
Yeah, and so do you bring it up? When do you bring something like that up? If you're not going to bring up the debate about whether guns kill people in this country, when they, if we
when
had better gun laws, that wouldn't happen. That's to me, a good time to bring it up. Just my opinion. We'll take a break. When we come back, more fun and more thrills, including what's happening to all of our stomachs.
Yeah.
We'll be right back. Dear. I know I'll get those messages today, ladies and gentlemen.
Where's the funny? Where's the funny?
Sometimes it's a heavy day. You know, sometimes a lot of crap goes on the weekend that you got to talk about. This segment of the Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by Strine Creative.
Yay.
Yay, good old
you
boy.
Have seen what Gabe Strine did for us. Now you can put him and his team to work on all of your graphic designs. He's a genius.
He is.
I think we can say that with great authority. Strine Creative is not just round-headed DJs.
He's not.
Not just round-headed DJs.
So much more than that.
It's branding and marketing for print, the web, and yes, animation. Let Strine Creative help your ideas come alive. StrineCreative.com or click their eye-catching ad on our website. There's nothing I like better than what he does for us, and he can do good stuff for
and
you.
And there's
as
another
well.
Animated series up on our website. Site now too available.
Cool. Good stuff. That's it's right. Very, very funny.
He
like
did my Christmas card last year.
Yeah, he's
and
great
did a great
guy.
Job with
did
it.
Did you pay for that?
Yes, I did. Retail.
Can I give a nod to Gabe?
No.
If
Rob had to come clean. No, he didn't.
Oh, no, didn't I know. I said it? No to him. I did pay for it.
You yeah. did?
Yes,
did.
Of course.
Oh,
I did.
I didn't know that.
Begrudgingly. No, it's Gabe does such a great job that at times, if you're out there and even a small business and you're looking for some sort of animation to really show your product or show your services, that's a way to think about really presenting what you do.
Set yourself apart.
In a different way.
Yeah. It works. So
cool. Just think about that.
And, you know, we will come up with an idea sometimes, most times not. He will simply take audio from this show, and he'll manufacture something.
Yep.
But when we, get a little germ of an idea, and we just throw it over to Strine and his
he
incredible brain.
It. He improves on it every time.
It's fun to work
with. And he was so great when he did the open for our Reno show. And we sent him the tape, and I said, and Mike and I were thinking this. And he said, of course. How else would it be? I mean, he just thinks so right. He's right. So guy. Smart and so funny.
So take advantage of that, and we'd love to farm some of our listeners his way. All right, getting to our tummies right now. Yeah. Oscar has a bleeding ulcer.
Yes, he does.
I am in the middle of a diverticulitis flare, which means my lower tummy has been, I think, is it the nature of what we do, or what?
I
what
think
do you think
so.
It is?
Well, you
how
had,
is your tummy? Because you you're in much worse shape than I am.
I've plateaued. I'm just normal. Like nothing's changed since last week. It hasn't gotten worse.
Good.
I'm hoping to get better soon. But when I texted you on Saturday night to come out, I was down the street at a holiday party.
Yeah.
And you said, look, bad
it was, and that incidentally, if I can speak to that.
Yes.
That was not your, hey, come out and hang out. You wanted to be rescued, right?
Yeah,
you wanted me to come in and rescue you in a social situation.
I didn't know anybody
situation.
There except for Shannon.
Yeah, so
and then,
I'd appreciate like a text from you when you're really out roaring around sometimes.
Yes.
Like maybe one of your little forays down into Arlington, and just say, hey, come out.
But now, Mike, he doesn't know. Need you then.
Now, Oscar,
no. It's too far.
Oscar was at a party, but I will tell you that I was supposed to go to Todd's house on a Friday for his party, and this had nothing to do with my tummy trouble, but as it turned out, even if I had recovered from my Thursday night, I wouldn't have made it to Todd's because I had this diverticulitis. Mm-hmm. If we can go through, we have diverticulitis, which is a intestinal problem where you get tummy aches, basically, sick tummy. Yeah. We have ulcerative colitis.
Which is a bad flaming colon.
That's another tummy trouble. Uh-huh. We have another diverticulitis sufferer over
mine
here.
Mine actually exploded.
His
once.
Exploded. Yes. We have a bleeding ulcer.
Now and then there's Mark.
Do you have any issues?
Oh, chronic diarrhea all the time.
but that's by design.
Yes. He enjoys it.
More fiber?
Yeah. The more the better.
Let me throw this.
Don't get me started on Ronick with his appearance on Omericast this weekend.
Oh, what?
I've been sober for what?
Appearance?
2 weeks, it feels like now.
What's that?
2 weeks sober.
Yes.
And
how do you feel?
That's right.
Well, this is the thing. It's
shaking has stopped.
Going to a party sober is not fun.
It is
but
fun.
You have to make the most of it. For example, on Saturday night, Bob Trost, one of your good friends.
Yes, Biker Bob.
Yes, he came up. We started talking. The night changed. Everybody started. Scott Shannon showed up, one of your friends that you went to.
Not
Steve
Scott
Shannon.
Shannon.
Oh, sorry, Steve Shannon.
Not
showed up.
Scott Shannon.
Why
Steve
aren't you Shannon. Drinking?
So this this lady that's a coworker of yours is a big biker lady?
She knows all these guys. Oh. And the night turned around and really you have to fight and claw to have a good time with your sobriety. But it can be done.
Yes.
But no more than 30 minutes.
Is Biker Bob,
once that's over,
is Biker Bob a teetotaler?
I didn't see him. drinking.
I don't think he's. I don't think he likes to tip. So
we were just talking. He does a lot
of. He does a lot of blow.
I know that Steve,
but he doesn't drink.
Steve Shannon, I know, is kind of a
That guy's a man's man.
Oh, he's John Wayne. Steve Shannon's one of the guys that came out to Sturgis with me, and he knows more about motorcycles than anybody I know, and they're really really good guys. But I, you know, even though I was feeling still my bad tummy, even if I'd been 100%, I was like, I'm not driving out to like some strange lady's house, a party that you were invited to.
No, you were invited as well.
I wasn't invited.
Text came in. Mike.
I'm going to write stuff down. I invited you personally 2 weeks ago. He said, "Yeah, that's the time. This is the time of the holiday. I'm truly, really trying to celebrate." You told me that.
Really?
Yes. In your kitchen.
You invited me?
Yes.
But did the lady invite me?
She did. Because she knew you knew all these guys.
My bad.
Yeah, thank you.
Sorry about that.
This is such a busy time of year.
Can't you come out, Mike, and entertain?
You're expecting.
So
I understand.
We have four people in this studio, and then we have.
I do just normally have just a bad stomach. You guys know that
he's going to have it.
You have a rough tummy.
It's stress, my tummy is
and
not
it's the alcohol.
So, but I mean, it's just. I think I don't know. I think it's because we always have to be. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what it is.
Stress. It is odd.
Thursday night.
But do you think really? I think it almost warrants a study.
Yeah.
On people that have done what we do. That'll be in all areas of broadcast.
That'll be the DVD for Christmas 2013. Worst video ever.
Video of our colonoscopy.
It should be fun.
Well, think about it this way. You, on a different level, there's a lot more pressure because this is your business. This is what you're feeding your family with. And you're going plus one.
Right.
But most people, when we were in radio, and the friends I have currently in radio, that type of stress, while this is stressful, is on a different level.
Yep.
Because you have no control.
I think we all got these injuries back when we were working in regular radio. And it's some of it's just now catching up.
Yeah. These injuries. That's injuries. A good way of putting it, too. Well, anyway, I'm with you. And hopefully your bleeding ulcer will be taken care of. And when are you getting scoped?
No, 10 days, it looks like.
Oh, so they weren't able to accelerate
They accelerated by 2 days.
Ooh.
Yes. I hate
actually, I've talked to you about that after the show, so don't run out of here, because I have something that might help you.
Ah, good. Okay, so
I brought my own gloves.
And I am now eating like a diet that is non-fibrous. So I am eating scrambled eggs, white bread, pasta, which is kind of cool, because I'm able to go off my regular routine for a while. And
a series of puddings.
Yeah, and I think that one has to analyze as to whether mainlining alcohol for like 16 hours on Thursday night might have something to do with it. And I've got to get myself healthy by at least by Wednesday, because Friday is our big deal.
That's think what it was, Mike. I followed you and watched you on Thursday night, and I think what we're seeing here is a reaction. An allergy to limes.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
All I know
because everything you drank seemed to have a lime in it. And
I guess this is a commercial for Quench. Jesus. Do they do a heavy pour?
Oh, they do.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Do they do a heavy pour?
Yeah, they do.
Are you going to drink tonight?
No. No.
A drop.
Just a little bit.
I don't think I can.
You can.
If they start winning, you'll be like, let's
have
just
one. I don't think
I
can.
I think you can.
You
should have a beer.
It depends. If Paul's coming over and RJ and Randall, the whole band's coming over to watch the game. It's
maybe we could have a mixed drink, Mr. O'Meara.
Is this a good time to ask you? I'm still in the dark as to why my wife and I got carded over the weekend.
Where did you go?
We're clearly not anywhere near 21.
Okay.
We went to
20 wonderful.
A popular Buffalo Wing University. There's no reason I can't say that.
I can, in Fairfax, Fairfax City.
Right, here in Virginia.
Okay,
right.
I know where it is. We did some appearances out there.
Yes, we did.
Fine establishment.
Great food. Love the burgers there.
When I had my restaurant, the fine people that, and I probably, I don't give a rat's ass.
Yeah.
The people that run the alcohol beverage control, ABC, in the state of Virginia, if you have an ABC agent who is in your establishment and is watching the way you do business, and you do not card people that are being admitted to the bar area. Now, were you carded at the door or were you carded at the table?
It was not terribly crowded. It was early in the evening. We were at a table. We were at a dining table. And the waitress, who I should have asked her for her ID because she didn't look old enough to be serving it.
That's because she is young and she has been told by her management, card everybody.
Right. And but still, it's weird because if you're obviously well over the legal drinking
age, it does not
age,
matter because
she
technically,
said she had to check it to make sure that our licenses hadn't expired.
Technically, an agent, even though you are well to the naked eye, if you do not have the proper identification to indicate that, They can be cited.
Wow.
They can be fined.
Big
fine. There's your big
fine. This weekend. Okay, now I know the answer. Won't get into why I hated it, but I had to go to Wegmans this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you were bitching about Wegmans.
I hated it. But the guy in front of me had to be.
Why do you hate Wegmans?
We haven't enough time.
Is it the crowd thing? Will you talk about it tomorrow?
Yes, it has nothing to do with the crowd.
Because I disagree with you. I mean, if it's not the crowds, I like that store. You give me that grocery store when it's not heavily trafficked.
Right.
I'll take it over anybody else.
Any other. Yeah.
Didn't like it. Anyway, the guy in front of me was 70, and he got carded, and he looked at me.
Buying beer at the counter?
No, he was, I believe, the couple in front of me, and I had a good conversation with the lady. When she was the kind of lady that speaks out to no one in particular to see if anyone will answer.
Right, right.
And so I'm in line with her, and she says, and they had them on display, the candy, and she says, oh, I used to love spearmint leaves. You know, the gumdrops.
Yeah,
and
right.
And obviously the husband has been with her for 50 years. He wasn't going to say anything.
No, he's not even
listening. The clerk isn't listening. So I just said, yeah, and orange slices too. And then she talked my ear off for 40 minutes.
Well, because you took the bait.
I did. Right. I was.
You gave her what she wanted.
That's what it's for.
Her husband, who was 70, got carded. They were buying 4 bottles of wine and ground beef. So big night at their house, apparently.
Right.
And he got carded. And he said, goddamn political correctness.
That's what it is.
And in a grocery store, again, you're required to card everybody because if someone is not carded and they think they look young, they don't want feelings hurt, too.
Nice.
They want everybody to go through the same hoop.
Feelings hurt?
Yeah, because
never in a bar.
Well, not in a bar, but I'm talking in grocery. They say,
believe me, I've been at that door.
They make
the hell you carding me for?
They make everybody in the grocery store the policy. Everybody gets carded, so it's you can't be thought that you look too young.
I bought booze in the grocery store a million times.
I wasn't offended. I was just confused.
Well, when I sold beer in college, I only would sell you beer if you were hot. It's funny, I never got around to carding the chicks.
Have a nice evening.
Yeah, I'll see you soon.
Nice blouse. Please do me. I want to see your aureolas.
Oh,
I'm Rob A.
turn off the PA.
Will you talk about Wegmans tomorrow?
Yes, I will.
Note
I hated
yourself.
It.
I want to hear you because I could give you a nice little debate on
steaming
that.
Pile of crap.
Real quick, Oscar saw this in the theater. I talked about it at Queen of Versailles. This guy, David Siegel, and
his
wife.
Will you set up just for people probably don't know about this? It was an independent film that went to
independent documentary. Yeah. And,
about one of Mark's people.
I could be wrong about this, but I believe the purpose of this documentary, or in its original form, they went down to document the building of this amazing mansion, 90,000 square feet, largest home in the United States, largest private home, $100 million, and as they go down to document this building of this huge home, the recession hits, mm-hmm. and the business of this guy goes upside down, and it turns out being a documentary film about their fall from the highest perch. Now, they're still making an S-load of money. This is the same douche that came out and said, if you vote for Obama, you could be fired the day after the election. Uh-huh. He's since backed off on that, but he runs, I think it's Westgate, right?
Yes.
The biggest timeshare company.
If you've been to Vegas, you see the Planet Hollywood Tower and hotel.
He built that, and then the bank, then he had somebody else took it
It'll
over.
Say Westgate, but you always wonder, why does it say Westgate? Unless you're a timeshare guy, you don't know what that means.
And they fell on tremendous hard times because they were the example of cheap money and getting cheap money from banks all over the place. And so this is an amazing, amazing documentary. I was thoroughly entertained. I'm not going to make any comments about the couple because I don't need to. If you watch this documentary, you will see. Astonishing. I mean, when you consider when people are so about money, where money defines them, mm-hmm. where money is everything, literally everything that they possibly who they are on every possible level is based on money. And you see what happens when you live your life like that and things go even slightly off kilter.
It was such an interesting movie because you're left with kind of some questions that after I watched it, I raced home and I started looking on the internet trying to figure out what actually happened to this couple.
Yeah, so I did the exact same thing.
Yeah, and it seems like
after you did your follow-up, did you think that the movie did a fair presentation of them based on your real research?
Yes.
Incredibly so.
Yes.
In fact, you come away from it at the beginning. They're such. And then you realize, well, they're letting the cameras follow them around.
Okay.
Right. And just so sad. I mean, really, amazing to feel sorry for people that are in that situation. Yeah. Not because they fell on such hard time. They still live in their other huge mansion. They still have Rolls Royces. Yeah. But they're just so bankrupt in so many other ways. Well, made me feel great, actually.
They got out of it. So
They've spun out of it again.
He was able to save his company.
Yes.
In one way or another. He didn't get everything he wanted, but it's a testament that he spent 2 to 3 years fighting these banks and bankruptcies.
Yeah. He ended up giving up because he had to give up his tower in Las Vegas. Right.
But that was ego-driven.
God, don't you hate totally when you lose driven, your tower?
Right? It's great.
Sucks.
But you see her, and she is 4 hours. She is white trash of the highest order. Yeah. And you hate her at the beginning, but then towards the end,
you feel for her.
She is so positive.
Yeah.
She is so completely like, she might be
dumb.
I was like, but the combination, I wanted to hate her so much more than I did. Yeah. You still hate her a lot, but it's hard. It's fun.
That's great filmmaking if they can do that.
Queen of Versailles, check it out on pay-per-view. It's really, it's right. We got to take a break. We will come back with Rob Spiewak right after this. Welcome back to MikeOMaraShow.com. We are in the holiday season. It's hard to believe.
Mike. I finished the fruitcakes this weekend.
Rob's Magic Audio Vault is brought to you by The Man Grape.
Yeah. Nice.
We have had, during the 3 years of this show, many, many partnerships with fine sponsors. Mm-hmm. One of our longest running sponsors and one of the best partnerships we've had, both for them and for us, is with The Man Grape. I'll tell you why that is. The reason for that is because when you get a great product that our listeners can relate to and something that, especially during the Christmas season, is an amazing gift, it makes everybody happy.
Works.
It makes us happy because we've got a great advertiser. Mm-hmm. It makes the company happy because they sell these Man Grapes, and it makes you, the consumer, happy because you've got something that is reasonably priced that you can give, especially to your dad or your brother-in-law or the men in your family.
Something new.
And something spectacular that they're going to get a lot of pleasure out of. It's The Man Grape. And what's cool, in many parts of the country, you can take this thing out of the box on Christmas morning, and that afternoon, you can grill for the whole family. We're talking about one of the best holiday gifts, the Man Grape, 100% made in America cast iron. You get real steakhouse grill marks. What it is the same thing you would see in a great steakhouse restaurant, and you put it right on top of your wimpy grill, and you turn your grill into a turbocharged
steak
grill.
Steak machine.
And here's the best part. Yeah. It's still just $19.99. They held the prices from last year. When you order through the banner ad at MikeOMaraShow.com, $19.99, a tremendous, tremendous Christmas present. And there's more. If you order through us, here we go. Uh-huh. You will also get the fabulous, great TMOS grill brush.
It is really awesome that you bring this up, Mike. I used the grill brush just this weekend when I was not being assisted by the useless employees at Wegmans.
Yes.
Well, it happened. A lady named Ann came up to me, and I hit her with it.
Okay, very good. I'm glad he
don't. And it said TMOS right on it.
I guess so. We might as well write them off for being a sponsor. No, I'll say good things about them tomorrow. Give the grilling great that's changing the way America grills. Give the man great.
Yeah.
And,
you know what? Actually, we've been saying TMOS, but it says the Mike O'Mara Show on there, so it spreads the words about the show as well.
Very cool. And it really is. I love the grilling brush, and you will too. Get the Man Grape. Let's open up the audio vault for today.
Thank you, Mike.
This is Monday, December 3, 2012. Take it away, Rob.
I do love when things happen that make racetrack announcers have to go off script, if you will.
Okay,
and
this
you will.
Good. I remember some of these that you've played. I'm already looking forward to
this. We have this video on our YouTube page. Check it out because it is great with the visuals. There's three deer, and they hop on a track right before a race. I don't know the track. It's in Pittsburgh.
I don't know either.
But what's great is they've got two guys in the booth, and you can actually hear one of them. He's doing the in-house call. The other guy's doing the PA, and you can hear when he keys the PA. So, you know, you hear the reverb and the noise, and he's got one of these great voices like this.
Okay.
So they actually had to postpone a race with three white-tailed deer running around on the race course.
Now there they are. Yeah, they're on the track now. They're on your screen right now, too. They are on the racetrack.
Well, that'd be a good reason to hold up the track, right?
Yeah. They are on the racetrack. We got, you want to call that one? Yeah.
As a race down the backside, Bambi has the lead. Here comes Rudolph on the outside.
And they are going the wrong way right now.
A race delay as we have a deer event taking place at this moment on the racetrack. So sit back and enjoy. The deer are going to the paddock. Apparently an equipment problem. The deer returning to the paddock.
Jockey's fault.
Uh-oh. They saw Christopher Shaw and put on the brakes.
It is hunting season.
But it is great to watch, so take a look at it.
Yeah, let's remember we are in Pittsburgh.
Right, so check that out. This is an example of bad communication. Mike, we are in the business of communication, and so is television station WGN in Chicago.
Yes.
And what they had was a roving camera out in the morning. I think it was a helicopter shot, and they showed a plane wreckage in Chicagoland. And they had the anchors commenting on it, how horrifying it was. But they were not informed about one thing that you'll find out at the end of this tape.
Okay. So
what you see is
like something they didn't know.
Yeah. So you're seeing plane wreckage on your television, and the anchors are having to discuss it.
Man, can you imagine? You're driving down King Drive, and a plane comes down in the middle of the road. Yeah, that's a big chunk of concrete where the plane just went down.
Yeah.
We don't see a lot of frenzied activity around the plane, so there are injuries. Maybe the injured parties have been taken to the ambulance already.
We are just getting word that this is being shot as part of a TV show.
Are you kidding? They might want to tell the news folks when they're doing this and shutting down King Drive. Are you kidding me?
Maybe the news folks should ask before they report.
Oh, boy.
There's your idiot anchors.
Oh, well, obviously, there's not a lot of urgency there. Obviously, any injuries may have been taken away.
Did you watch the video?
Yes.
So when you watch the video, can you get a sense that perhaps this is not a recent? Is there smoke or anything like that?
If you hadn't been told that it wasn't real, you would think it's real. It looked real.
Okay.
But what I think is great, they brought up the fact there's no emergency vehicles. There's no urgency about it. It's just, obviously they've taken care of it. But anyway, yeah. So
it's funny.
Maybe over-communicate to your new anchors. What were you doing 20 years ago today?
All right. 20 years ago would be 19...
Diverticulitis, wasn't it?
Yeah, probably.
1992. Christmas of 92, right, I guess.
Probably going to a lawyer's office.
Today.
Another safe bet.
Play the odds.
Just in time for the holidays.
Today marks the 20th anniversary of the first text message sent to a telephone. And here's a news report about
it. It's the 20th anniversary of the first text message sent to a cell phone. There were no LOLs or BRBs when British engineer Neil Papworth sent the message. It was a simple Merry Christmas sent from a computer to an Orbitel 901 phone. Papworth said he's amazed at how big text messaging has become.
The funny thing is because the phone could receive, it could not reply. So it was only a one-way text.
The LOLs,
it's like texting me.
Laugh out loud.
I know. Hey, LOL is laugh out loud, you douche.
By the way, if you have a chance, go to his party.
Hold on just a second. But there's one I wanted to ask you. First of all, what are those called? Those
abbreviations?
See, there's not a name for them. We haven't. We could come up with a name for them.
Okay. I think there is a name.
LOL, BFD, that type of thing. We could do that.
I'll look
Rob
it up for
wrote
you.
One down.
Oh, I know what it is. It's YWIHG.
What is that?
Yuck with a hand gesture.
Yes.
It's when you really hate something.
Oh, that sucks.
He invented that.
Is that your own?
My father and I did it because my nephew.
Okay. Hold on. Uh-oh. Doesn't count then.
Sorry about that.
I thought it was really something that might be valuable.
It is valuable.
Yuck with a hand gesture.
My nephew, Baby Dylan.
What's that, yuck?
Yeah, well, he'd see things he didn't like when he was a kid.
Younger men in the room, do you think that's valid?
No,
putting your own one in there, that's not, you should speak the language that
Big
is universally
spoken.
Big
shocker that Oscar sided with you.
Yeah, because he always does,
doesn't
he?
You're a grown man. You and your father should come up with something cooler than that.
Yeah, okay.
Horrible.
But do we have a name? Do we have a name for them?
Yeah, I think it's
let's call it Oscar's an asshole.
Stop it. Yeah. We're running out of time.
Name.
Oh, we're into Buzz's time. Go ahead. You got time for one more.
Okay,
I'll find out.
Let's finish with this. Oh, my God. The obesity in America, Mike. The obesity in America.
Terrible. Can I tell you, as much as I hate that whatever thing, the letters that you use, I love meh.
Meh is good.
Meh makes me laugh.
I like that. But the obesity problem in America, Mike, check out this statistic.
New study just came out, ladies and gentlemen. The average American now weighs 176 pounds.
Yeah.
176. That may not sound too bad to you, but the study was conducted at elementary schools.
That is your magic audio ball, Mike.
Texting shorthand is what they call it.
Yeah, I've seen
it. I know it's 22 hours old, but I'm putting on, I'm going to write on Rob's throat.
No.
Why don't you just compliment me in person, Mike? It'll mean so much more.
He's sitting right here.
NCAYSL. Nobody cares about your stupid letters.
Nice.
We'll take a break.
Why don't you come up with something cooler than that?
Okay, we'll come back with Buzz and News right after this. Thought I'm an infant. swear to God, I'm a child. I'm a small child. It's
enjoy it, because
night.
In a few months, you won't be the youngest one in this house anymore.
Jeez, what the hell? You know, I have moments. Welcome back to the show. Buzz's news is coming up in just a second here. I have moments when when I quietly reflect on that.
Yes.
And if we can turn the music down. I'll try to take you for a second, okay. For just a second here, inside of my brain when I have those reflective moments on the idea that, like, a year from now, I'll have a few month old crawling around.
Inside
okay?
Mike's head.
Here we go. Thank you.
And now back to the real
and
world.
And now here's news with Buzz.
I was
Buzz.
Thinking about that.
Wow.
Thank you, Mike.
Mike, it's going to be a brand person in the house that has never heard any of your shtick before.
This, oh, boy.
A new audience.
Yeah, the duck noise. I love the duck noise.
I know.
Or she.
That's right. A little, beautiful little baby girl would be fine.
It will love the duck noise.
That's right.
Well, inspired by you and Carla, we have breaking news. Prince William and his wife, Kate, are expecting a baby, according to the palace.
They had to steal your thunder.
Those bastards. That bastard, William.
The news today is brought to you by Mike O'Mara Show's Amazon page. Each of us would like to say thanks for bookmarking and using our Amazon page to do your holiday shopping and all your shopping year-round. Happy holidays from Amazon and the Mike O'Mara Show.
I have a baby question.
All right.
As far as the name, if it happened to be a boy, and I'd be happy with a boy or a girl.
Sure.
If it happened to be a boy, and we have a William in our family. My cousin Billy is a William O'Mara.
Right.
So, but I mean, I still could name the baby after my father.
Of course,
right? Yeah. Sure.
William.
Of course.
And would it be a William Jr.?
Or no, it would,
no,
only
it would
be
a William the Second.
It wouldn't really be. I think that only continues if the
it's
parent, yeah, has the continued. Yeah.
Is your middle name William?
No,
Sean Patrick.
No. Sean. So it might be. It's either a William or a Michael Jr.
You know, a great name is Robert.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
Robert Wadhams O'Mara.
Yeah, I have just as much ego as you do,
yeah,
pal.
That's going to happen. You know, if we go over the fiscal cliff, and we might, that doesn't mean the problem can't be fixed later. It can be fixed later if we don't meet the deadline, and things can be done retroactively. So it isn't quite the end of the world date that it's been made out to be. Oh, look, who's at the door?
How you doing there? I heard one of those ladies on one of those syndicated left-wing shows stole my bit, fiscal cliff.
Okay, they do.
Yes, fiscal Cliff Clavin, they're calling it. I said, that's my material, you stupid bitch. Thank you very much.
Well,
have a great day, everybody. Bye-bye.
All they have to say today.
I wanted to ask him about baby-proofing the palace.
Oh, stop.
The downside, and there are several, but the downside of allowing us to go over the fiscal cliff is that it would probably once again hurt the U.S. credit rating and put us in the company of countries like Greece. The upside, though, about going over the cliff is that it would automatically raise taxes for the rich, along with everybody else, making it politically easier for Republicans to lower taxes for everybody else later and not have to deal with the taxing the rich question.
Mr. Glass half full.
Yeah.
Will we go over the cliff? Leading Republican Senator Lindsey Graham thinks we will. He's pessimistic because he says the president has interpreted his reelection to mean that the voters side with him on letting taxes for the richest 2% go back up. Polls also show that most Americans and nearly half of all Republican voters think taxes on the rich should go up, and yet elected Republicans are sticking to their position that raising taxes on the rich would hurt job creation. The president's outgoing Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner, meanwhile, is optimistic about avoiding the cliff and still thinks it'll be done before Christmas.
He's a hammerhead. I swear
not a
to
fan.
God. I watched two people that didn't impress me at all. One obviously was Grover Norquist. Mm-hmm. And I want to thank Andrew Langer for hipping me to the fact that he was going to be on Meet the Press. I mean, if anybody thinks that Grover Norquist should be involved in any way in the way we govern our land, you're out of your mind.
Right.
But Timothy Geithner, who is the president's main guy,
Treasury Secretary,
is just a highly unimpressive, bumbling douche. And I think you got a bunch of people involved in this that I'm not optimistic. I told you that a long time ago. I'm not optimistic.
And you and I share a lack of being impressed by a number of people in the president's cabinet, especially in the first term.
Napolitano, Geithner.
Right. Hey,
don't like her.
Yeah, Susan Rice. We didn't.
That's
don't
my
really
girl.
Care for any of those.
Janet.
You now, watch your ass.
Napolitano.
Tax
God,
rates.
Have you ever seen her really shake it? That is hot box.
Baby.
Nationwide, tax rates will go up more than $3,000 a year. year for the average family. That's your house, Jack. And they'll go up even more in some places like Maryland, which could see its average tax bill go up by $7,000 a year. You got an extra $7,000 laying around?
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Democrats have presented their plan, or at least part of it, and they say the ball is now in the court of Republicans.
I presented a plan to Janet Napolitano.
Why did anybody think that anything would change? Nothing's going to change. They're not going to change.
The president ran on a platform of change.
These are people that hate the president with every fiber. This is not a normal. This is a president who doesn't do anything above and beyond to reach out and to do what other, either by twisting arms properly, which he doesn't know how to do, or by schmoozing, which he doesn't know how to do. He knows how to get reelected. He's a smart guy. I think he's got a lot of cool under fire. I like him if there's a crisis, but I do not like him as, he's not a great guy as far as getting legislation passed.
Yesterday's Washington Post front page, they have a nice write-up of Mitt Romney's life after politics.
Okay.
And he just... Within that story, they never got Mitt's side, but you know, it's just an outside look, talking to his friends, his neighbors, his closest advisors. You think about what would have been different, and I'm not saying it would have been better, but would we be going through this right now? What would be happening if he would have won the election?
You would have the Democrats in the Senate that would be the same kind of obstacle that the Republicans in the House are. And the fact is that... It probably would be different in that you would have the House go along. You'd still have the same
problem.
Still have the same roadblock.
You reverse the polarity. That's essentially what happens there.
Yeah. I mean, I think...
go around the beltway the other way.
Right. Yeah, nothing has really changed. And that's unfortunate. It's true. The fact that... what did he expect? That these guys would... he'd win the election and he'd walk in and go, hey, I won the election. The American people like me. Your guy lost. No, it doesn't work that way.
No.
Most volunteer groups that deal with kids run background checks on those adult volunteers. The Boy Scouts of America didn't do that because of the expense and because it discouraged adults from volunteering. That policy, or lack of one, is coming back to bite scouting now as reporters continue to pore over the organization's newly released perversion files. In Los Angeles, 230 men became scout leaders despite their previous arrest records on sex charges. Those 230 men went on to abuse another 400 boys in scouting. In Louisiana, reporters found that
You had your boy.
Robert did Cub Scouts for 1 year and didn't care for it. He quit.
You didn't dig it either, right?
I didn't like it at all.
Yeah, and my father never got me involved in scouting. He always said, my father was always down on it for some particular reason. I'm not sure.
There's a guy that is like King Scout in our school area, and you see him like at the pool, and you know he's doing the swimming tests and stuff, and he's just creepy.
Yeah.
I mean, he throws off a vibe that's creepy.
I mean, I would forever, out in where I used to live out in Haymarket, Virginia, that's where they've got one of those big centers for Boy Scouts.
Yes.
It's like they bought all this land out there, and you'd see him. See these guys in the sheets once in a while. It's just like, hello, warning.
And they're shorts and they're kerchiefs. I don't like it at all.
In Louisiana, reporters found that a large percentage of sex abuse allegations against scout leaders were never reported to police, presumably to protect the organization's image and its recruiting efforts. Now, the story that touched us all last week, in which a New York cop bought boots for a homeless man, has taken a bit of a sad turn. The man was spotted yesterday barefoot again. He said he had hidden the shoes because he's afraid someone will kill him to steal them.
Yeah, well, that's, an unstable individual.
Life on the street. So let's talk about sex instead. A new study in Britain says women spend more time than men checking out women's bodies.
Oh, I totally agree with that.
Bristol University study found that when men and women looked at pictures of men with women, the men only look at the woman 53% of the time, while women look at the woman in the picture 61% of the time.
Buzz, you remember the Playboy would come into the studio?
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember the girls in the office? They'd be around it. Everybody that want to see what's going on.
Deborah Dean.
We knew this. Scientists have their own similar theory.
Am I right?
Stop it.
Scientists, yes, you are. Scientists are guessing that it's all about checking out the competition, but they say they're going to need to study that some more.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when she got caught in the elevator?
Oh, that was a special day.
It's pretty great.
Oh, God. On our show.
In San Diego.
Wow.
In San Diego over the weekend, two young men walked into a Victoria's Secret and stole some 300 pairs of panties. They got away easily with so many since they don't take up a lot of room. And finally, thank you, Florida, for the story from Manatee County in which police answered a domestic dispute call only to find out it was a woman who had beaten her boyfriend because he got his sexual satisfaction without returning the favor.
Oh.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Thank you, Buzz. Our show is brought to you by Sherry's Berries, fresh dipped strawberries from Sherry's. Check some folks off your list with this amazing gift. They're perfect for the holiday parties. Enormous juicy berries. Check some folks off your list. Yeah, that's just one that doesn't work in my brain.
You know, I agree.
Check some folks off your list.
I know. Okay.
A lot of harsh noises. Yeah. It's very funny with all those K noises, though.
Enormous juicy berries. I think sometimes Buzz wants to punish me.
Actually,
enormous juicy berries dipped in your choice of chocolate. Check some people off your amazing list.
Hey, you know what? Can you take that just one more time as Bruce Dern?
Check some folks off your list, Mr. Gatsby, with this amazing gift. Enormous. I guess Rob wants those... Rob wants those nice juicy berries, don't you, Rob?
I do.
Dipped in your choice of chocolates. Hey, Buzz.
Yes.
Don't change the thing. I'm going to do it as Bruce Dern every
Excellent.
Time.
Wonderful.
I thought it might work.
How about this, Rob?
What, Bruce?
How about your choice of toppings, including crushed almonds and chocolate chip? Now save over 40% like Mr. Gatsby does, with prices starting at $19.99. Go to berries.com, click the microphone, and enter the code TMOS. Do that. Why don't you do that, Rob?
I will, Bruce.
And you can double your berries for just $10 more, but hurry.
Hurry.
This offer expires Friday at midnight.
Midnight, please.
Visit berries.com, berries.com, or call 866-FRUIT-02, but use the code TMOS, Sherry's Berries, at berries.com.
Thanks,
How's
Bruce.
That, Rob? See you later. Bye-bye,
everybody. Bye-bye,
everybody.
Bye.
Thank you.